Hi, Nana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. We are tracking along. Along in the season. I feel like the season has been going slow. At first, I thought we were, you know, going by really quick. But now we're still on episode 9.
Yeah. I think it's because we've been watching and just like that in between. It slowed it down in my head. I don't know about you.
It is. Okay, so it wasn't about slowing it down, but I was going to make mention that watching this and watching And Just Like That at the same time is such a mindfuck.
It's like
Twilight in real time, because I'm just like, you watch one, you see another, and you're just like, whoa, what is happening? So.
And I also make want to apologize to the actresses, because I feel like in my mind I'm being very harsh on them. Because when you see like how much people have aged in such a sharp contrast, I'm just like, ooh, this has changed. And I don't think it's fair to them, because obviously we all age.
Yeah.
But because we're comparing it like literally side by side, it's very jarring. I'm not even going to lie.
It is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, like we mentioned, this is episode 9 that was called Sex and the Country. This is the episode where Aiden, quote unquote, tricks Carrie into a country house. Because country house, when you say it in New York, you're thinking like a getaway.
You think like that? No.
This is an actual country house. Like,
yes. Yes.
This episode also where Samantha has an issue with asking, what are you doing next weekend? Charlotte is still going through it with Trey, who is apparently dating his mom and doesn't realize it. And Miranda and Steve get closer in their quote-unquote friendship journey.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the episode?
I actually mostly liked it. Mostly.
Okay.
There's some things that are just dumb, as usual, but I feel like a lot of things happened. And I wasn't angry. Well, I was only mildly angry at some of the things. So, yeah, I liked it. What about you? What did you think of it?
So, I liked the episode. Like I mentioned sometime at the beginning of the season, there's some episodes that I do remember. And this episode was one that I thought I remembered, but apparently it's going to be next episode, I believe. So, I was sitting in anticipation of what I thought was going to happen, which was aggravating to me then and will be even more aggravating to me now. So I was sitting there waiting for it to happen. So I think it affected or colored it. But in terms of content, did I care about it? No. I actually think Charlotte had the most interesting storyline this episode.
Yeah. I guess if it like pushed any of their characters, and Steve, I guess, even though he's not one of the main four. But yeah, I agree with you there.
I agree. But yeah, we can dive into the episode. We see Aiden going through photos, and I mean like physical photos, and showing Carrie his country home in quotes, like I said earlier. He shows her a before and after that looks exactly the same and tells her that she's going up there with him next week.
It's a shack in the woods, Tane. It's a shack in the woods.
It was. It really was. This time, I can't even blame Carrie, because I'm just like, I mean, it was akin to, you know, if you're from any country in Africa, you know that there are times or seasonalities where you have to go to the village.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, the equivalent of what a country house was. When I was younger, I was not excited to go to the village. So this is probably what Carrie was feeling like. Like, no, keep me in the city. We don't need to do all that.
Oh my gosh.
So
I don't think I've been to the village since I was literally probably 5 years old. And I don't remember too much of it, just a little bit. So, but yeah, so, but I will say where I'm from in Ghana, because it's not Accra, but it's also like a city, but it's a lot smaller than Accra. So to me, that's the equivalent, but it's not the same at all. It's not the same. I can't even lie. I guess so, it's like Lagos and Abuja. You know, things are quiet.
No, not quite. No, because they're both like pretty ahead. Like, I mean, like proper.
Like country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel you.
So he tells her that she is going up there with him next week, and she tries to come up with excuses, but with each excuse, Aiden has a comeback for that. Then
he's ready for her, isn't he?
he knows who he's dating. So Miranda buzzes and tells her that she's coming up, and she comes upstairs just as Carrie's telling Aiden that she's a city girl and she has no business being in the country. Miranda comes up and tells Aiden, like, hey, you need to tell your friend Steve to call his insurance company because they can't find him and they keep calling me because I'm still listed as his in case of emergency. Aiden is like, yeah, I know he wants to talk to you about some stuff too. And she's like, what? And then he's like, some stuff. And I thought that was really annoying. If
yes.
No plans to say what it was, why did you even bring it up at all?
Thank you.
Miranda channels her inner Carrie and gets ahead of herself and is like, what does he want to tell me now that Jessica is gone? He wants to say he's in love with me. He wants to see where we can take this and blah, blah, blah. And then Aiden just casually mentions that, oh, Steve has testicular cancer. I'm like, huh? Even Carrie was shocked.
I was mad because I'm like, Aiden, this is not your news to tell people.
No, it was not. It was not. It was not proper at all. But
yeah. I don't care if it is Miranda. I just feel like, why? No. I would even rather have him be like stayed annoying by saying, oh, he has to tell you something, which is the most irritating thing. Either tell me or don't. But I'd rather be irritated than you tell someone his personal health news. I just thought that was uncalled for. But
it was. But I mean,
yeah.
The scene changes. Again, something else I've learned in this rewatch is that the scene transitions are not the best.
Nope.
Because the scene changes and we see Charlotte thrusting into the air and telling Trey that it's a fertility exercise and he's all ready to go and says they can actually just have actual sex. But she's like, he has to wait till she's ovulating, which is on Saturday. And he's like, they're going to be at their mom's house. And she's like, well, you're just going to have sex with me there in your mom's house. So she mentions that they've been trying for 3 months and doesn't want to take any chances.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing we see is Steve and Miranda eating at the park. Wouldn't it make more sense?
Before you go into Steve and Miranda, I actually wanted to talk about that Charlotte and Trey scene.
Okay.
A bit. I, like, know someone who, again, was, like, trying to get pregnant, all of that. And I just feel like when you're so set on sticking to a schedule, how, I feel like it's room for, like, resentment. And then sex becomes a chore. Like, I get it. Like, you have the perfect times, you should have sex, whatever. But Trey was like, he doesn't understand why they can't have sex then and also when it's the perfect time. But she's so determined to only be, or only when it's like the optimal baby making times. I was just like, okay, so now sex is just a job to have a baby. That's all she's reduced it down to.
I mean, it comes down to that. I can understand that, like, in terms of if they're trying and those are the times, it does come down to a job. But she had a reason where she mentioned, like, she wanted his sperm to be fresh off. Because I think I've heard or I've read or from, you know, a lot of people who've gone through IVF and stuff. Mm-hmm. There are certain times where they actually give you a cutoff.
Okay.
So where there's a certain time where, you know, your sperm, you can't have sex for a certain amount of time. And then because they want your sperm, like, if you're going to do, like, a sperm thing or whatever, they want your sperm to be, like, the fresh whatever. Don't quote me, but
I've heard something like that. But there was also part of me that thought Charlotte was bullshitting because it's Charlotte. I was like, sperm is sperm. What's the difference whether it's this? I feel like I've heard something like that before as well. But I literally just thought Charlotte was bullshitting.
Let me give you something about Charlotte. Like, I know that Charlotte can be whatever she is, but I will tell you this. Charlotte does seem like she enjoys having sex with Trey. I don't think she'd stop him or bullshit or whatever. She's really just trying to give it the best chance that they got and just follow everything. And I think when it gets to that point where some women are struggling, like, to get pregnant or whatever, every little thing seems like an issue of why it's not working. So you want to do all that you can.
Yeah, to give yourself the best
chance. So that's me giving Charlotte grace. So I don't
know. No, honestly, that's fair. That's fair. Because I'm just trying to think, like, in my own personal life, people I know who've, like, maybe been trying to have babies, friends of mine, all of that. Yeah, it makes sense. Like everything does get magnified and you feel like, oh, if I do this, I'll give myself the best chance. But yeah, and I guess it's real life, isn't it? When all you're doing is trying to have a baby, sex does become, it has a singular goal, you know, not necessarily for pleasure anymore. But yeah, it just is, it stuck out to me. I'm not going to lie.
And it's literally the only thing. She quit her job. So it's the only thing. And I think for once the writers got it because it's on brand for Charlotte.
Yes.
It's just like, we're going by the book. We're doing everything or whatever. But yeah, I do think she enjoys having sex with Trey. Like,
Look at us being nice to Charlotte. Okay.
I'm not mean to. I am. I am.
Yeah.
So then we see Steve and Miranda eating at the park, which I thought would have made more sense. Like if Aiden says Steve has testicular cancer, it makes sense for them to pivot and let that be the next scene. But no, they didn't. So they're eating at the park and he's saying like, you know, it's not a big deal. He just needs to have surgery and that's it. So Miranda's like, okay, that's good. Like, so it's stage one. And Steve is like, I guess so. Miranda's like, you don't know? She asks a few more questions, and Steve, like, doesn't know for real. And, you know, she gives him a number of a doctor. She's like, she talked to her coworkers, have gone through this, and this is a recommendation. And Steve is like, you don't have to do anything. Like, I have a doctor. It's no big deal. And then we have our weekly Miranda outburst, and she tells him to stop saying that. This is cancer, and the longer they talk about it, the longer it spreads, and he will die, and it's a big fucking deal.
I mean, I know it's Miranda, but she's not wrong. It is cancer, and it is a big fucking deal. You can't be blasé about it.
Listen, I would have done exactly the same thing. I know myself.
As I was watching, I was like, wow, when did Tame become a member of Sex and the City? You're moonlighting as an actress. I love it. I love it.
That's why she's my girl, because I would have, like, I mean, you know that about me, but people out there, I'm just like, my sense of urgency is on 1,000. It's a good and a bad thing. I can admit that, but I don't understand. It's still you cancer. You don't know if it's stage one. What are you doing with yourself? What is your doctor doing? So
I'm avoidant, as you know, but I feel like if I was diagnosed with cancer, I would definitely not be avoidant about something like that. I'll probably be like, yeah, I'm fine, but, you know, let's find out what's going on as I fall apart inside. But, yeah, you definitely will be like, okay, we're getting on this number, call this person. Yeah, Steve was being ridiculous.
So the next thing we see is Miranda telling the girls at breakfast. This one I know, there was bacon, there was eggs. So she tells him that how she yelled at him and made him cry. Yeah. And I swear to God, Nana, I tell you that this show is fucking with me because I saw Samantha and I'm like, why is she here?
Do you know why I'm laughing? Because there's a part of me like, oh yeah, she's still here.
Because it didn't help that we had gone through how many minutes and we had not seen her at all.
Yes.
And then she just popped up. And was like, you did the right thing. And I'm like, oh, yes, she's still here.
Guys, we're so sorry. This is probably going to happen more times, watching them just like that at the same time. Oh, my gosh. Mindfuck.
And for those of you who are missing Samantha, she is going to pop up on Hulu soon because there's a remake of How I Met Your Mother. It's How I Met Your Father. And it's going to be Samantha.
Yeah, I will not be watching, so no.
Who is going to be the lady in 20 whatever time, and Hilary Duff is going to be representing for her in 2022. I'm probably going to watch because I watched How I Met Your Mother late. I don't remember where I joined, and then I watched it all the rest of the season. What a disappointing finale, but...
That's so funny. I did the complete opposite. I was obsessed with it in the beginning, was completely here for it. Then it fell off. I completely stopped watching, and I was like, oh, I'm so glad I never picked it back up because I heard the finale was terrible.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. It was like you invest how many years to How I Met Your Mother, and then it was bad. But yeah, if you're looking for your Samantha fix, it's not going to be the same. But
Good old Kim Cattrall. Keep her job. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I know. She had that one season show on Fox that I tried. I really did, but it didn't work. And she also, if she had come back, we would have made comments because I don't know what she's done to her face, but it's That doesn't look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Samantha and Charlotte reassure her that, you know, he needed a good kick in the ass. And, you know, she just lost her mom, so she has residual anger. So it's understandable. And selfish Carrie, you know, got to turn it and make it about her, is like, you know what you need is a nice, relaxing weekend in the country. And she's basically just trying to get one of them to go with her to the country, and they all say no. Samantha is the only one available, but she's not having it, and mentions how her weekends are to meet new guys so she doesn't have to keep fucking the old ones. So,
can I say, side note, I actually meant to say it at the beginning, but Miranda looked really good. Whatever they've done, I honestly think this is the best she's ever looked. You know, when she walked up and came to Carrie's apartment where she was talking to Steve, even in this same scene, I was like, oh, Miranda looks nice. Her hair isn't crazy. They haven't done weird things with her makeup. I thought she looked really nice.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Well, I did. Yes.
So Carrie says Aiden loves the country. No, she's like, oh, it's not going to be that bad. So Aiden loves the country, so I will love the country as well. And Miranda takes her to task that just because he loves it means that she has to. And she's like, no, it's just, you know, what you do. And then she's like, so you pretend to be someone else in a relationship? And Carrie tells her, no, that's just compromise. And as a sidebar, that is why it's so frustrating to me, whatever it is that they're doing to Miranda on Just Like That, because it is a completely different person. This is the Miranda we know.
Yeah.
The self-assured, take you to task even when it's not necessary person, and then you turn her into a bumbling idiot at 55. Yeah. I don't know. It's not, I don't appreciate it.
I feel you. And also, can I make the point that Carrie was, I know Carrie's always annoying me, that's like my default, but being in a relationship, part of it is doing stuff you don't really want to do.
Yeah.
Because your partner likes it. You're not going to die. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not whinging about it. Like, that's what being in a relationship is. You do stuff that they want to do sometimes. Sorry. Yeah.
And it's not pretending to be someone else in a relationship. Like me currently. I mean, there's a running joke. I have a good friend who likes to say, like, I don't like to laugh because I don't like comedy. But my husband loves comedy shows. I can't tell you how many comedy shows since we've been together I've been to. But I'm not dying. And I've even laughed at some. But I'm not gonna
Yay, you even lost that song. I love it.
So I'm not gonna not go, and it's not me pretending to be someone else. It's me just giving a try to something that my partner likes, and then it's reciprocated, and it's just, again, you're not gonna die.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking this guy I was dating when I'm like, oh, I watch Jeopardy every day, and he was looking at me because I think he thought I was joking. But I'm like, no, I'm dead or serious. He used to watch it with me, even though he didn't like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do stuff that people you're with enjoy. That is, and I feel like, do we need to tell you that, Carrie, at your big age? Like, come on.
Oh, you mean Miranda?
Oh, Miranda, sorry. But when I was talking about the cottage. It's not even a cottage. Country house, whatever.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
So, yeah. They need to figure it out. I mean, it's like, just as a sidebar, like, my husband used to be so down on reality shows, and everyone knows that's my oxygen. So it's so funny now, like, the number of reality shows he knows as well. So, yay, it's a casual.
Even being your friend, Tane, you know I'm not a reality show person.
Yes.
I feel like I know what's going on in the challenge, all of that. And I haven't watched a single episode since I was 18 years old when it was still called Road Rules, you know? That's what you do with people you love and like. You take interest in their interests, even if you're not interested. Like, ugh.
As long as you know who CT is, my job is done. That's it.
Of course. Of course I know who CT is.
So Carrie and Aiden make it to the country house. It's in a place called Suffern, New York. And Aiden is so proud of this junk house. Like, it's... I'm with Carrie all the way through on this. Like, I can't.
Yeah, I'm not a country girl. I can't even lie to you. So
I can't. It's not even like... You know how when you go camping, but now there's glamping, so it's like an elevator to make it comfortable? No. There's nothing here that is designed to elevate your living experience in it.
The lack of air conditioning in the summer would have finished me. I'd have been like,
God, crazy. So Carrie sees a squirrel and screams so loud that Aiden runs out and she tells him, oh, I saw a squirrel, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, oh, it's my squirrel. I've been trying to be friends with it. I fed it nuts and then it came back. And Carrie's like, you can't be friends with a squirrel because they're just rats with cuter outfits. I'm not going to lie, that to me, LOL.
She's right. She's right. I'm sorry. And also, side note, can I say I'm like obsessed with the way some Americans pronounce squirrel. It just, I love it. It's almost like squirrel. So it's like one syllable instead of two. Squirrel. Because Sarah Jessica Parker says it that way and I was fascinated.
Wait, but how did you say it?
It's like squirrel.
Squirrel. Oh, God.
Squirrel. I'm really bad at American accents, but it was like squirrel. Well, I would say squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel.
I'll make it two. Yeah. Like, you know how you said it two syllables?
Yeah.
Squirrel. You said it one. So squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyways. So we see.
Sorry.
Carrie can't sleep and is on her computer and she's writing her alleged job writing for the week and is like, relationships, no matter how good they are a series of compromises. But how much of ourselves should we be willing to sacrifice for the other person before we stop being ourselves? In a relationship, when does the art of compromise become compromising?
Hmm. I actually think that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
For once. Well, not for once. Let me not play her. She sometimes gives us interesting questions. But that's an interesting question. Wow. I keep thinking. I remember dating this guy. It was like years and years and years ago. Where we broke up because I felt like I couldn't be myself. Because it is like, I felt like all the things about me that made me me. I was compromising and compromising and compromising where it was like, I don't recognize, like, I never felt comfortable. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Where it does almost feel like you're role playing a different person altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I can't live my life like this. I'm sarcastic. I like to like joke. Like every little thing I said as a joke was taken deadly seriously. So I'm just like, oh, I can't even quip anymore. And that's me. That's like my bread and butter. I'm just naturally like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to, you feel like you're shrinking yourself and shrinking yourself and shrinking yourself. And I was like, if this continues, I'm literally going to become a shell of a person. I'm not happy in this. And yeah, so we broke up. So I do, but where is the line? Where is the, I guess for me, the line is when you no longer feel like yourself. Because you can definitely compromise. You can be mad about the compromise or wish you didn't have to compromise and still feel like yourself. But I guess, the line is when you no longer feel like yourself, like you're becoming a completely different person.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that's a fair answer. I think that's where I was leaning to. You know how sometimes you're in relationships or you're in a job or something and you're like, when it stops being fun, then I'm out. So if it gets to the point where you're unhappy and you don't recognize yourself, then that's not a healthy environment for you to be in. So if you're compromising to your detriment, it's just like too much of everything is bad. Like when it gets to the point where it's hurting you, I think that's where the line is.
Yeah.
Because give or take, she's right. It's a series of compromises. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to, you know, give up on some things or acquiesce in some things or whatever. But when it's kind of like, when the cons become more than the pros, because it's just like if you're with someone in a relationship or you're friends with someone, any kind of relationship with someone, it's never going to be 100% because we're human beings and we're flawed. But the minute where the bad outweighs the good, then it's not a functional, it's not beneficial to you anymore.
100%.
So.
100%, yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because don't they say a good compromise is like when both parties feel like they've won, you know?
I can agree with that.
That's when a compromise is good. When you low-key feel like you won and they low-key feel like they won.
Because,
or is it when both parties feel like they've lost?
A compromise is one person realizing, listen, this is not the hill I'm willing to die on. And I'm tired. Let's just get it over and done with it.
Oh, wow.
So then... she types all that and then cuts to Samantha having sex with the cutest bra on, I might say. And I don't know where the switch or where the change was, but I do believe in season 1 to season 3, we were seeing Samantha's tits all out, but lately it's
been
covered.
Yep. Oh, so, by the way, we're so on the same page today, because I wrote in my notes, Samantha's red bra, fantastic. It was such a nice bra.
Yeah, it was very cute. So yeah. I don't know if this is where the beef with her and Sarah Jessica Parker started. Like, why does she get to have sex? We don't get to see her tits. Why do I got to put my tits out? So I don't know. Maybe it is. But hey, maybe it changes later on in the season, because, I mean, when she starts dating that model, I want to say we saw her naked. But again, everything's fuzzy. Yeah. But anyways, and then, you know, they're done. They're laying down post-coital lay. And the guy asks her, what is she doing next weekend? And she kicks him out. Like, it's a trigger word for her. Trigger phrase for her. She's not having it. So Miranda invites Steve to hang out. And Miranda's just doing the most. Oh, you can have the last egg roll. Oh, you should do this. Oh, we can watch this. And then Steve is like, I'm out of here. And she's like, why? What? He's like, I don't want to stay here and be treated like some fucking cancer patient. And then she's like, I felt bad. Like, I was a bitch to you. And Steve says, yeah, but now I have a doctor that knows what he's doing. And I have insurance that's going to pay for it. So thank you for being a huge bitch. See, bitch pays off sometimes.
You're so annoying. Oh, gosh.
So cut to the McDougals. And by that, I mean Charlotte, Bunny, Trey, they're all in Connecticut, and Bunny's giving Charlotte a tour. As a sidebar, I guess they made up, because the last time we saw them, wasn't Charlotte threatening her?
Yeah, didn't she kick her out of her house? As yeah. she should have, but anyway.
So I guess they're good, or they forgot about that. Mm-hmm. And she gives Charlotte an orchid as a gift for the gift that she's giving her. And Charlotte is like, what gift is that? And Bonnie says, a grandchild. And then she says, and I'm saying it as she said, oh dear, you mustn't be mad at Trey for telling me. Because I'm fascinated by the word mustn't.
Do I ever say mustn't? No. I feel like it's something I read in storybooks when I was a child. But I think it's something I say in everyday life. Nope.
I feel like it's language for like old money or something.
Yes, yes.
Who's going to say mustn't?
Can I say also, since we're talking about language, when I was younger, the way I used to struggle with orchid and orchard. In my head, I was just like, how are these two different words? I struggled as a child with orchid and orchard. Oh, anyway, sorry, that was apropos of nothing. But yeah, just had to get that out.
Listen, there's so many words that I actually don't use out loud. Yeah. I just read them, and then I hear it being, I always use this as an example, awry. I always call it awry.
I saw someone else say that as well, that was awry.
I can understand the orchid struggle.
Yes.
So, Carrie is bitching to Charlotte on her cell phone about the country and how she had to drive to New Jersey for cell service and food. And Charlotte is, you know, telling her, I think Charlotte just is over Carrie's tantrums. She's like, it could be worse because Bonnie has already picked out the names and schools of their grandkids and she isn't even pregnant. But she does tell Carrie that she needs to try harder. Like, she's doing it for Aiden and she loves him and all that stuff. So she goes back and I think she took Charlotte's advice. And she's trying to help Aiden. She's in overalls and boots and they're in mud. And she's trying to help him lift. I don't even know what it is they're lifting. Why it has to be lifted. Carrie is
it's like a plank of wood, isn't it?
But what? Like, what is it that... Carrie is like 90 pounds soaking wet. She keeps falling off into the mud. But then the fact that they kept doing it over and over and over again was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And Carrie has no muscle. Carrie didn't even work out. Like, what was the intent?
He could have dragged that log by himself. No problem.
Why were they standing in mud for... I don't know. Yeah. It didn't make any sense, but all we see is a montage of Carrie slipping into the mud and Aiden just laughing. And she tells Aiden that, you know, she needs to go shower because she needs to go back to the city for her meeting and she's done. And 4 hours later, we see her having steak with Big and complaining about it.
I gasped.
Everything about this scene was so wrong. Everything.
I gasped. Because I was like, so did she really have a meeting or did she just lie to this man's face again to meet up with her ex, having a cozy dinner? I could not believe the gall of Carrie Bradshaw. Just like weeks, months after getting this man back into your life, this is what we're doing. Okay. All right, Carrie.
The disrespect is so huge to me because it's not just any ex, it's the ex you cheated on me with.
Yep.
It's the ex that I just told you I had a problem with, and you were like, he's in my life or whatever. It's one thing if you guys have casual conversations, you run into each other, but to like actually go to dinner, to leave him in the country, to go hang out with Big, and then on top of everything else, complain and tell Big all of what is going on, basically giving him ammunition.
She has no fucking shame. I'm sorry. I could not believe my eyes. I just couldn't. She has no shame. None whatsoever.
No. That was terrible. So anyways, she's going on and on to Big about how nature isn't for her and she loves Aiden and there's no one in the world she'd rather be with, which I found ironic since she left him to go hang out with Big. So yeah. And she catches herself and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is it okay to talk about this stuff? Like, and he's like, oh, yeah, please carry on. And she's like, oh, if you ever meet anyone that you can always tell me. And he interrupts and he's like, I did meet someone. Because Carrie is saying it with this main character syndrome that she has. Like, oh, no, I'm the one who moved on first. And he tells her that she can't tell anyone. And it's an actress named Willow Summers. And then he starts telling her how they met in great detail, which I loved. And then he gets to how, you know, they drank a lot, they get to each other's place and, you know, gets to the red panties and Carrie stops him and says, that's enough. And I'm like, Carrie is a joker. But it just takes a different context, knowing everything everyone was saying about Chris Noth and hearing him talk about all that. I was like, eh.
See, you annoy men that can't keep your dick in your pants. And now you even ruin escapism for us, like. His poor victims, first of all, but they're so annoying. Like, why? Anyway, sorry.
The funny part is they can get anyone they want. They don't even have to try hard. So what is
about?
I know it's about power, but it's just
it's so disgusting. Bad. It really is. It's gross.
So she tries to change topics, but Big insists on going on because I mean, Big is a demon. Let's not forget. Death or no death, he is. And then he keeps going on about how he can't get her out of his head and she is crazy about him and, you know, talking about, you know, I think I'm in love with her and I'm like, wow, this guy's mean.
It made me laugh. I did not feel sorry for Carrie because why are you there, Carrie? Why?
Wow. So she's walking home and then she stops and looks at a movie poster with Willow Summers on there and then a huge New York rat pops up. Oh my god, guys, I have a huge pair of rats. It was gross.
Rats as well. Oh,
gross.
I will say she looked really good, by the way, apart from the ruffle at the back of her skirt, but she was wearing this really 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 short satin green skirt and a white sheer top, and she looked really good.
I thought the ruffle was like a nice surprise. I wasn't expecting it. I was already admiring her and then she turns and I'm like, eh, I can dig that.
It was really ruffling. If it had come down a little bit, I feel like I'd have liked it more. But I thought she looked fantastic. And you know, we all know how SJP can strut. She was strutting. Yeah. She looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she decides to go back to the country and take her entertainment with her, and aka Samantha. So they get there and Samantha is miserable. She has like a portable fan that she's trying to cool herself down with. And Carrie is baking. I'm like, does Carrie even know how to work in an oven? So she looks out the window and sees a guy on a tractor. And I have to go check the timing because Aiden tells her that is Luke Gilmore. And I say this because if you ever watch Gilmore Girls, that was her boyfriend's name, Luke.
Yeah.
And her last name was Gilmore. So I'm like, was that on purpose or was that way before ahead of their time? I don't know. It was probably what?
I think it was probably on purpose.
Oh.
Yeah.
So She undoes her blouse and ties it up and goes to work. And she goes in to talk to the farmer, Luke. And it was so cliche. He was in his overalls with a straw in his mouth. And ugh, nothing about it worked for me. But yeah. She goes to ask for milk for a coffee. And he tells her to help herself. Go ahead. And she's in high heels, trying to walk in the hay. And that was that.
She's in strappy high heels, guys. Samantha's literally in strappy high heels.
And that's how that scene ends. Then we see Charlotte coming back from tennis. She runs into the room and is like, Trey, where are you? He's like, I'm taking a bath. She's like, hurry up and come make love to me while I'm ovulating. And she goes into the bathroom to get him. And she sees Trey fully naked in the bathtub with Bunny by his side, smoking, having a conversation with not a care in the world.
This scene made me laugh.
Very, very strange.
Yeah, because no. That, no. No. But, okay. There's also a part of me, I don't know why Charlotte was so shocked. I don't know what more these two need to show you. This is the kind of relationship they have. But I guess every time I think she can't be shocked, something else happens that shocks her more.
Yeah. I mean, but this kind of takes the cake. Because I think the worst so far was her, like, rubbing the Vicks while Charlotte was there in bed. But this, like, your grown son being naked?
They're just chilling, shooting a breeze.
So she walks away and is potting angrily when Trey comes by. And she asks him, what was that about? And he's all, what was what about? And I was like, why are you letting your mother watch you bathe? And he's like, no, she wasn't watching me bathe. We were having a conversation while I was having a bath. I'm like, semantics. What is the difference? So she says she doesn't know how he was raised, but she's not going to be that kind of mother. And Trey tells her, oh, I was raised by a nanny and she won't be that kind of mom. And it was the stupidest excuse because I'm like, if that's the case and you were raised by a nanny, why is your mom that involved right now? Because isn't the whole reason she's that involved that you were her whole life? So I don't know.
It's just his relationship with his mother is just beyond weird. I'm sorry.
Beyond.
But I guess, anyway, some people have those relationships with their mothers. I read enough Reddit, am I the assholes, to see that some people have relationships like that with their mothers. So, yeah.
Anyways, her alarm goes off and they have sex in the greenhouse, which I thought was cool because, like I said earlier, I feel like I'm saying this a lot, but I feel like they really got their sex life on track.
Yes.
It's whatever. So, yeah.
Especially from where they came from. Ooh.
And again, if, you know, sex has to be a chore because they're trying to get pregnant or whatever, at least it's fun. I mean, they're having it in public. So. Exactly. So we see Steve wake up from surgery and Miranda is by his side. And honestly, it's a crazy world when your emergency contact is your ex. Like, you got to get more friends or family. I don't know. But they come to kick her out, but she insists on staying and she feeds him and gives him his juice and all that kind of stuff. Because I feel like, and I know it's a TV thing, but I just don't understand when you have major surgery, is it that you have no one in your life?
Yeah.
Your family, like, to even care about you?
No. Do you know what, Tane? When your family don't live in the same city as you, it can be like that, you know?
I mean, it's my life.
Yeah. but it can. And if you don't have, like, responsible friends, like, you can drop something and come to sit with you or whatever, I don't think it's that unbelievable, unfortunately.
I don't know. For me, I kind of think it is because it's major surgery. It's one thing if it's an outpatient thing. I've had to have major surgery. I've had family members fly in from Nigeria, which is so far. So if your family's not in your city, I've never, except, you know, a few years of my life where I lived in the same city with family. I just never have lived with family. But for all major surgeries, I've had friends or family kind of come in or fly in. Like, I had a time when friends were rotating to come take care of me. For for Steve, I just think, again, when we know that his mom, who's going to come later in the series, who they were allegedly close for, I just always give all this to lazy writing. I just don't mm-hmm. know that someone will have surgery for cancer and not one person in your life.
Yeah. If I had major surgery, I know someone in my family would come.
Yeah.
I would even tell them, hey, so when are you coming? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do feel like it's... I don't know about his mom, because I don't remember that, but just taking this episode in isolation, I still don't find it that strange. I feel like a lot of people just aren't that lucky, to be quite honest with you. Some people don't have good friends like that. Or good
family. I get it, but Steve's a bartender, and I'm just using that. It's like, he's met people. Hell, why isn't it Jessica? I don't know. I think it's to move the story along. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, they could have thrown in one person. I don't know. Yeah. My cousin, my brother, someone from there. Because it's huge. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Samantha having sex with a farmer, screaming as usual when nothing is happening, while holding her boobs, which is the strangest thing. I mean, of course, we don't have to tell you. White girl, she was on top. But we've never
this
seen...
This agenda.
You have to do this where, I mean, she's riding him, but her hands are over her boobs holding it. I don't know. It was very strange to
me. She had nipple covers on.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay. I actually thought you were going to talk about that when you were talking about the bra, her red bra before. No, she had nipple covers on.
Wow. Because
when they finish and they're both lying down, like, panting. And they weren't even, like, flesh tone. They were white nipple covers. And I was like, why is she wearing nipple covers? Yeah, she had white nipple covers on.
Wow. I mean, we already seen it all. So, I don't know. So, all is well. And she's telling him a man of few words and all that. And then he asks her, what are you doing next weekend? And her boner is gone. And so, we click back to Carrie, who somehow, I don't know, she just made crust.
Carrie's annoying. It's like, are you baking a pie or just making crust? Or maybe she's baking one of those pies that you only need to bake the crust. Who knows?
I don't know. She's annoying. And
I wouldn't eat anything she cooked either, but you know.
So Aiden is being weird, at least to me, because he's trying to get her to hang out, but he's like, he needs to do something. And then the squirrel, oh God. I'm now conscious about the squirrel.
Yes.
The squirrel, you know, that animal. That animal that's a rat that's in a cuter outfit.
My work here is done to give you a complex about your accent. Woo-woo.
She screams at it, and so loud. Carrie is a screamer. I've said this before, but Madge is a screamer. And she drops the crust in herself or whatever. And then Aiden asks if she's okay. She screams at him that she's not okay. And she burned her legs. And I'm like, oh, this poor guy. Because technically, Aiden is in an abusive relationship with Carrie.
He is.
All her frustrations on this guy.
But remember what I said when he came back? That this man knows what he's getting into, Tane. I've completely worn out my feel, like, sympathy for Aiden. He knows exactly what he's getting into this time. So, sorry. I don't feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
he chose it with eyes wide open.
So she kicks the oven. She says she hates the animal over and over, and that she hates the house, and she's sorry, but she doesn't belong here. And, you know, she's all having a tantrum and just not happy to be there. So Aiden is taking care of her and is trying to take care of her burn. Which is ironic, because then just like that, she just had a burn, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
God, I'm so messed up.
Yeah, wow.
So she apologizes and says that she doesn't hate the house, just the squirrel. Then they decide that, you know, she's only going to come just weekends. I didn't even realize that was the plan. I didn't know they were staying all through the weekdays and the weekends. That's a lot.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And I was like, wait, so this wasn't just a weekend trip? Because now I get why Carrie was freaking out. Because I'm like, oh no, I could do 2 days max. But yeah, I feel you.
So then she tells us that she and Aiden compromised And Aiden spent money on an air conditioner, and she spent more time in suffering. And in the end, she realized that city girls are just country girls with cuter outfits. And that was stupid to me.
Yeah.
That was how the episode ends.
Yeah. I still enjoyed it. I did. It wasn't as self-serious, I mean, apart from the testicular cancer, as some of the other. And I guess I feel like it's the episode we needed after last week's episode, well, the previous week's episode, which was, I found, very heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have anything else to add?
I don't believe so. Can you please tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us at the Rewatch Times 2. That's TheRewatchX2. That's our handle on Twitter, our handle on Instagram. And if you want to send us an email, just add@gmail.com.
And as always, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating, nothing less. 5 stars or nothing. Thank you. We appreciate you listening, and we hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.